Varmt välkommen tillbaka till Idrott och ledarskapspodden. Det har blivit dags för avsnitt 135 och i det här avsnittet har jag bjudit in Mia Nevado. Mia är grundaren av det som kallas The Look Up Movement och jobbar med att inspirera och hjälpa människor att stänga av sina telefoner för att bli fullt närvarande för att kunna uppleva det som händer på riktigt. Så det är ett avsnitt fullt av både inspiration och mycket fakta och kunskap kring just det här med vad våra telefoner egentligen gör med vår mentala hälsa, hur det påverkar vårt fokus och vad som händer med en skola som blir telefonfri. Vilka positiva effekter har man då sett hos de här ungdomarna som inte använder sina telefoner? Och vi pratar också då om såklart hur det här kan stärka oss mentalt genom att vi lär oss skapa en hälsosam relation till våra telefoner. För det är ju inte det att vi inte ska använda dem, de är ju ett fantastiskt bra verktyg. Men vi behöver se till så att vi inte blir beroende av dem och att vi hittar andra vägar till just att bli närvarande, fria från mobilerna också. Och vi pratar också om det här med mål och vikten av att ha en stark vision. Och hur att man kan till exempel, som Mia gör, skapa en så kallad phone-free vision board evening. Och vad det här kan göra för dina vänner och för din förmåga att drömma. Så avsnittet är på engelska, så jag hoppas att det kommer gå bra för dig att hänga med. Mia är ju danska och min förmåga att förstå danska är ganska låg, så att det var därför vi körde på engelska. Så jag önskar dig ett riktigt trevligt avsnitt och jag hoppas nu att du kan luta dig tillbaka, ta några djupa andetag och nu kör vi! Varmt välkommen tillbaka till Idrott och ledarskapspodden. Det har blivit dags för avsnitt 134 i säsong 16. Och idag är jag mycket glad att få presentera min nästa gäst för dig, nämligen Mia Nevado. Mia är grundaren till The Look Up Movement. Och det här är en organisation som vill inspirera och hjälpa människor att stänga av sina telefoner för att bli fullt närvarande, för att kunna uppleva det som händer på riktigt. Mia är även partner till Yondr som skapar telefonfria konserter, events och skolor över hela världen för att skapa bättre mänskliga relationer och en hälsosam balans genom att använda dagens teknologi. Mia har också en bakgrund inom hotell- och resebranschen och är gift, har två barn och bor idag i Stockholm. Och jag ser verkligen fram emot att prata med Mia idag om allt från det här med telefonfria områden till hur vi kan bli mer närvarande. Och vi kommer att fortsätta på engelska. So I'm very excited to have you here today, Mia, and warm welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jenny. It's an honor to be here.
So you're Danish, that's why we decided to do it in English, because my ability to understand Danish is a little bit small, and your work language is English, right?
Yes, I'm happy to do it in English, I think, for the sake of everyone.
Very good. So I'm wondering to start with, is there anything that you would like to add to my presentation of you?
I think you did a beautiful presentation. I can add that I have lived in Ecuador for many years. And after that, we lived outside New York for 6 years before returning back to Stockholm 4 years ago. And so I'm very happy to be back here. This feels like home. And yeah.
Great. And you're born in Denmark.
Born in Denmark. Born in a town called Mariager, which is also known as Town of the Roses. And it's a place that's very special to me, and I think it's also very linked to what I work with today, because my hometown is a certified Sit a Slow village, which is like the slow food movement, a movement that promotes slowing down, living in touch and closeness with nature, supporting the local community, all those things that are really important for living a happy and fulfilled life. Of course, I did maybe not appreciate it when I grew up because it was a small town, but now every time I go back and I walk in the beautiful woods that's around the village, I'm really grateful for having been raised in nature and understanding the extreme benefits of living hand in hand with nature. Yeah.
You know, it's so interesting because I just started to follow two Danish boys. They're men now, but they've been childhood friends, and they started a company called Forêt. Forêt, it's woods in French, Forêt.
Ah.
And they do beautiful clothes, unfortunately just for men, but I like to wear men clothes. But they have one statement every year as a logo, like a slogan. And last year it was slow down. So I have a college sweater saying slow down, which is my motto for this year. And I just thought about that when you talked about your background in your city.
And that's very linked to, of course, look up too, because I think when we actually put the phones away, we tend to slow down. Because I think what most people do when they're on their phones, we multitask. And then we're no longer present and we don't, you know, we miss all those beautiful things because we are so locked in this little magic screen that we have in our hands. So I think by slowing down, that's when we start feeling more and we are more in touch with our own emotions and feelings as well.
Yes. So we are going to talk a lot more about this and about the Look Up movement. But I thought to start with, perhaps not everyone knows exactly who you are. So I usually start my interviews by asking, who is Mia Nevado?
So Mia Nevado is a woman who is very passionate about what I'm doing. And as I mentioned before, I grew up in this small village in Denmark. And then I knew from very early on that there was a much bigger world out there to explore. Hence why I studied hotel management. I thought that will open up a lot of doors to go and see the world. And then long story short, then I became a travel writer. So I wrote I had a column in Stureplan.se right when I moved here 22 years ago. I started writing for Condé Nast Traveler, other different magazines. And I really enjoy traveling. I realized that a part of what I loved about traveling is this, that you connect with different people you might not never have talked to unless you were seated next to them on a plane or a bus or, you know, looking for a local restaurant, because this was before we had the smartphones. Today, you know, you can travel to a country where you don't speak the language and you don't need to engage with anyone because you can just look it up on your phone. But I really enjoyed those random meetings with strangers. That's when you feel alive.
Mm. And so how can a work week look like for you today?
So my work week looks like, so I have two boys, I should mention, who are 11 and 13. So that, of course, keeps a lot of structure because you have to get up early to get them to school. But for me, it is very important that we eat breakfast every day together, because I feel it's those times when we have downtime with our children that we really connect and talk and talk to each other and we hear each other. So breakfast is very important for me. But I actually start the day at 6 a.m. I start by doing transcendental meditation, which I learned about 5 years ago now. So I do it every morning at 6 p.m. and then I do it one time in the afternoon. And then I prepare the breakfast. We have that with the kids and then we send them off to school. And then normally I actually go for a half hour walk. We are very blessed to live in the forest. And I feel that half hour walk without my phone, I also have to add, gives me the best ideas and it just sets a good intention for the day. Then I do work from home, which I'm also very happy about. But I do visit a lot of schools. Part of the work that I do is I help schools to become phone-free, which I think everyone is aware of now is a much-needed thing. So the kids can get back their focus and attention in the classrooms and just as important, the human interactions between the classes, that they actually talk to each other, play with each other, engage with each other. And then I also do a lot of in-person meetings, because I think one of the real downsides or side effects from the COVID was that people stopped meeting in person. Oh, we can just meet over Zoom or do an online meeting. And sure, that's great. I also work globally. So of course, I think it's amazing we can have meetings, you know, all over the world. But when we actually live in the same town, we should make the effort to meet up in person, because we lose so much of the conversation when we don't sit in the same room. It's the movement, it's the energy, it's the body language, and it's just the small talk that's in between what we are supposed to be talking about that I think makes us feel alive.
Yes. So we're going to talk more about the school part a little bit later, but I wanted to know, you know, we met 25 years ago the first time, but now we recently met again, because both you and me were attending the Swedish Defence Material Department's Health Week and for their staff. And you were talking about those things. Can you tell me a little bit more about what your subjects or what you wanted them to know?
Yeah, no, thank you for mentioning. Thank you for asking about that, because that was such an interesting request when they asked me. And they asked me to talk about being present in nature. So a lot of what I try to do with my Look Up movement is to inspire, not to lecture, because I feel most people know nowadays how phones, that, you know, they're great for many things, but they also take away a lot of time from us. And I always said the best way to get people to understand what it is that I'm doing is by giving them an experience. And a lot of those experiences just happen to be in nature, because I'm such a big nature lover. So when they asked me, they said, could you talk a little bit about the benefits of spending time in nature? And then, of course, I added, which I think is such an important thing to add these days, is that it's very different to spend time in nature, walking around, listening to a podcast, even though, like, I would love to listen to your podcast too when I'm out walking. But not every walk in nature should be spent, you know, not listening to nature. Because when we put headsets on our, you know, when we are not fully present, you don't hear the birds. You know, there's so much you miss out on. And I'm lucky that I live, you know, in a beautiful park. I see so many people out walking and running every day. But I can count on a hand how many of them are actually fully present. And I don't blame them, because I just think that technology has sneaked in and we do it out of routine almost. We don't even think about it. Like, I'm out here. I might as well listen to something. But so what I talked about is, you know, like forest bathing, which is, of course, a Japanese term, but I think now, you know, it's practiced all over the world. And when we spend time in nature and when we are 100% present in nature, our heart rate slows down, cortisol levels goes down. It has so many benefits to us. And the best thing is it's free for everybody. And it doesn't mean you need to go out of town to, like, you know, a forest or... Even most big cities nowadays, of course, have beautiful parks, and that's all it takes. And I'm also a big tree hugger, but when you actually touch a tree, it releases, now I don't remember the word, but it releases something that is extremely healing for us.
Is it oxytocin? The hugging hormone?
Yeah, I get it, maybe, but it's a specific substance that the body actually takes up, and it's just... Yeah, we should all be hugging trees.
Yes.
So those that know me will often see me, if they see me in the forest, that I might be hugging a tree or I'm just sitting and meditating. My sons are very, of course, used to spending time in nature. We do a lot of picnics and it's all year round. It's just about, you know, you dress correctly for the occasion. And I even see with my kids, you know, if we have had dinner, we sometimes just go for, I make hot chocolate, we go for a half hour walk in the woods, we listen to the owls. And it's just much easier to get them to sleep after that.
Mm.
And it's also a nice way, you know, when we're out in nature, you just connect with each other in a different way.
Mm. So how does your boys, how do they succeed to live more without their phones? For example, when you go on walks or at the breakfast table, how are they regarding their relationship to the phones?
So thank you for asking about that, because I think, you know, I meet a lot of families, and it is the number one struggle in families today is how do you manage phones and how do you get your kids to put the phone away? But I always say we can start with ourselves. So if we are good role models, it's easier to get the kids to follow too. And also, before my kids had phones, they didn't get, my youngest son, who's 11, just got his first phone actually last week, which was an emotional step for me. But I also felt he was ready for it. And my oldest son, he also got his when he was 11. But because of my Look Up movement, and I have researched so much in this topic, we made sure from day one to have good rules. I don't like the word rules, but like good routines, phone routines around how do you have a healthy screen balanced life. So what we did was we had a family meeting, because I always believe if you engage the children in deciding, you know, how are we going to do this, it's much easier for them to follow through with it rather than me telling them, this is how we're going to do it. So we talked about it, and for us it's just completely natural, never phones on the table when you eat. It's like, I don't know, it just seems so foreign to me. I know that's not how most families are, and I'm not judging anyone. It's just, we just did it from the beginning, so it's easy for us. Never in the bedroom. I think it is maybe the worst thing we can do to our kids' generation is to let them, you know, have their phones next to them on the bedside tables, because, yes, sure, they can work as an alarm clock, but I think most parents, if they check their activity on their kids' phones, they would see that, you know, there are some, I'm not saying everyone, but there are kids that stay up late playing video games, social media, Snapchat. And it's so easy because it's right there next to them. It's very difficult to resist that temptation. So it's just much easier to not have the phones there. Buy an old alarm clock, much better. So for us, it's never when we eat, never in the bedrooms. And then, which I also think is very important, never when you're out in traffic, because, you know, we have a society where it seems like the bikers are sometimes on the phones, the car drivers, people that are out walking. And it's really, I think I just read a study in the States that 20% of all car accidents are caused by people distracted by their phones. And it's probably even higher. So I think it's, so I told my kids that's, of course, very important that they pay attention.
Mm.
And it's not, the thing is, just because you have this phone in your pocket, which is such a distraction to everything else that's going on, it's so important that we also make them aware that it's not their fault, because so much money is invested in making that phone so exciting for them. So I think we have to stop blaming and screaming at our kids to get off their phones, because it's not even their fault. We need to, you know, get society, the politicians, to really set up some good rules for what are our children exposed to. How can we work together? Because the yelling and screaming is definitely not the way forward. Which is also back to that once a year with Look Up, I do a phone-free family retreat, because I see when you do it together in a group, it's much easier. It's very difficult to be that one family that has healthy screen habits when most people don't even think about it, or it's just not, a normal part of their, it's not a big concern to them as it is maybe for others. But when you give them that experience together, and of course it's the same for adults, then people and adults and children feel in their own body what a difference it makes. And sometimes it's just a meal, or it's a walk, or it's a two-hour interesting thing. So the minute you replace the screens with either your presence, you do something together or an activity or a board game, that's when the magic happens. But the magic doesn't happen by telling them, you know, oh, this is what it's going to do to you if you sleep with your phone. No, they need to feel the difference in their body. And of course, the same for us.
Mm. So tell me a little bit more about, so now you work with the look up movement, which you, one thing is to have those retreats, right?
In
this. So how did you end up in this line of business, going from the hotel business, the writing, traveling, and then into this? How did that, how did you create the look up movement?
So there's one memory that really stands out, which was, so we are lucky that we go to the same place in the Maldives every year, and which is called Suneva. And their motto for almost 30 years now has been no news, no shoes. But 30 years ago, when they started, which it was six centers at the time, people didn't read news on their phones, right? We had them in print. And then I just saw the change. And maybe the change happened slowly over the years, because I felt, wow, we used to go and sit and watch the sunset, and you would have these really engaging conversation with people from all over the world. But slowly people started bringing their phones, you know, recording the sunset. And when someone is on their phone, you don't, it's almost like, okay, I, you know, I don't want to disturb. You don't pick up that spontaneous conversation the same way. So I just started noticing, and then we were having breakfast one morning. Everyone were sitting, you know, of course, with their feet in the sand, and there was one big table with 10 kids, and they were all sitting with iPads and big headphones, you know, in the bright sunshine. And my two sons at the time, a little bit younger, saw two big manta rays and, you know, screamed like, oh my God, two big manta rays, which is an amazing thing to see. But I just noticed that none of these kids, they looked, no one looked up. They weren't paying attention. And I thought, ah, that's what a sad thing to see. What can possibly be more interesting on that screen than seeing two big manta rays alive in the water right in front of you? So that, it just planted a seed in the back of my head. And then we, long story short, we were flying back. We were living outside New York at the time, and we missed our flight. We had to spend the night in Dubai. We check into a hotel. The first thing they gave me is a selfie map, and I was like, okay, this is it. So that night I couldn't sleep, so I wrote to Eva, the founder of the hotel in the Maldives. I said, Eva, listen, I think, you know, we need to go back to the olden days where people were not on their phones and the screens all the time, because I miss those days. I miss that connection with the other guests. And you know, now I just feel that people are sitting there with their phones, reading the news, not, you know, being fully present anymore. So she sent me a video. The name is Look Up. And it's just a short 5 minutes video. I think his name is Gary Tuck, the producer. And he kind of just with, you know, makes us aware, what is it we miss out on when we are looking down on our phones? It's a potential, you know, partner, a job opportunity maybe, a shooting star, a rainbow, anything, because we are just not paying attention to our surroundings anymore. And that was really what inspired me. And then I thought, I want to inspire people, but not by lecturing. I want to inspire people to spend less time on their screens and spend more time with each other. And so I launched it when we lived outside New York in a small town called Sagaponack by the ocean. And I just told my closest girlfriends, hey, you know what, I'm going to test this new concept. Why don't you come join me every Monday, 6 p.m. at the beach, no phones, no husbands, no kids. And we are just going to have a lovely time together. And of course, the very first time, half of them showed up with their phones and they said, no, but it's just for photos. And I said, no, we don't need to take photos. We are here. We will remember this with our eyes. You can go for another walk with me tomorrow and you can bring your phone if you want to take photos. So we walked into the sunset on the ocean. And of course, there was a seal sunbathing. And we all stood around it in a circle and took in this moment together. But had we all, or had one of us had our phones, of course we would have documented it, because that's what you do. But I think I can speak for all of us who was there. We all remember that, like it just happened.
Mm.
So,
and when was that? What year?
So that was back in 2018. And at that time, I was also doing a lot of wellness events for Donna Karan's Urban Zen Foundation and Tracy Anderson, her Vitality Weeks. And I just started paying attention to how much the phones were taking away. We would do really interesting lectures. And instead of people actually being there and being present and listening to whoever were there speaking, they were more busy telling the whole world, I'm here, I'm, you know, look at me, I'm in this beautiful surrounding with this person. And then I often felt they were missing the best nuggets from the lecture, right? Because, you know, it takes time when you need to upload a post. It, you know, you still need to zoom out, take the photo, the edit it, write the text. And I think we just, I was just thinking, it's so bizarre how we have all, and of course, I was doing this myself too. I'm no saint at all. And I thought, why is it I have this need to do it right here, right now? Does it really matter if I do it when I'm home alone later today in a quiet moment? I can sit and then share, oh, earlier today I was doing this thing. So I think that was, that's when I started just thinking, no, I'll continue doing my events, but with that one difference, phone free. And then I started doing it with the museums. And it was really interesting because even if you go for a walk in a sculpture garden or a museum and you don't have your phone with you, you see things, even though I'd been to these museums hundreds of times before, suddenly I started seeing things that I hadn't seen before. And not only that, it was also, I saw quite fast how much more people opened up, shared and engaged with each other. Because it's not so much the photos that is really the issue. It's what happens when we take up the phone to take the photo. Oh, there's a text message. I need to reply to it. And then you are no longer a part of the group or the conversation. So I just saw, wow, people are really engaging with each other. So those events became very, I don't know, I just felt like it was really beautiful to see what happened with the connection we had among each other just by that one small detail of not having the phones.
You know, when we met this just before the summer or after the summer, we talked about this, that because I also have an Instagram account and I want to post things there. And you are maybe in, for example, when we met, it was a very exciting moment with all these people. We took photos. But then we talked about, you know, it's important. We don't have to kind of put the post up right now. We can do it later on. And I did that sometimes, but sometimes I also kind of did it at the right there. So I just changed my habits around it. So now I pretty much never do any posts like when it happens, but still I do the photos. So, but I try, but it's a little bit hard.
I'm the same. I love taking photos.
Because you want the memory, of course, and like I was here and you want to keep it.
Exactly.
But I think the motivation for creating new habits regarding this, I work with, you know, mental training, mind training, and the purpose of that is to become present, which kind of this phone inhabits us, prevents us for that. So I think the motivation would be a lot of knowing a little bit more about the facts and the research, what happens to our abilities and our beautiful gifts that we have when we are distracted by the phone. So I thought, can you share a little bit about the research, not only for children, but maybe also for adults regarding focus and those things?
Exactly. So I think there's a lot of research, and I feel that especially since the beginning of this year, it's like so much is happening right now. And I think digital detoxing is like the trend word for 2024. But what the studies are showing with our phones is it really takes away our ability to focus and be present. Because in average, we all get around 300 notifications per day. Of course, I think by now most people know to turn off the notifications. But it's a lot of times we get interrupted when doing something. And even if we don't receive notifications, most people tend to check their phones. And I think the numbers are like 350 times per day on average. So what does that mean? So for instance, if you are, and this is one of the researchers I have been lucky to talk to, is Stefan van der Stixel. He's a professor and researcher at Utrecht University. And he researches, I would say he's maybe the leading expert in focus and attention. And what he highlights is every time, if you are working on something, whether it's homework or an article or a paper you need to finish or something you need to read, and you have the phone present, which most of us have, right? Because that's the world we live in. We need to be, people need to reach us. It feels 24/7. But the minute the phone, there's a notification or it blips, there's an email or a text message or WhatsApp, we lose our concentration and it takes 20 minutes to get back to where we were. So if this happens multiple times during an hour, it just feels like we never get things done. So I think people, it's so important that we educate children and adults and saying, look, the phones are amazing, but you also need to know how they actually affect our ability to stay focused for a longer time. So if you need to read something, put the, also, you know, there are studies showing the same text read online versus on paper, the brain also remembers differently, because when we read online, our eyes tend to jump around, where when we read from a book or a paper, you know, we read, it's just a different way of reading, and we tend to remember it better too. And that, by the way, goes the same for writing. So notes that you write down with your hand, your brain also remembers differently and much better than things you type in, because nowadays, with the wonderful help of AI, the phone or the computer will always guess what is the next word you're writing. So you don't actually even have to think that word. The phone or the screen has already done that for you. So it's just about, okay, how can we live a smarter life where we use the phones and technology in a way where it actually enhances our lives, and then learn to put it away when it distracts us. And that is for sure when we need to focus. But other benefits, data I can share is that in average nowadays, adult people spend up to 4 hours a day on non-work-related things on their devices. And maybe that doesn't sound so much, but it actually adds up to 2 full months of the year. So imagine what could we do with that time? Imagine all the nature walks we could do, or board games, or hanging out with friends, learning to play a new instrument. Anything, but most people say, I don't have time to do that. But if we just, you know, would scroll a little bit less, it would open up so much more extra time. And of course, even worse is that for children, this is from Common Sense Media, which is an American organization, where you can also go in and check what games and movies are appropriate for children. But they also did, they measured screen time for children around, I think it's from 10 to 18, and it's around 8 hours and 37 minutes per day, which is, you know, it's almost, or it's more than, you know, one third of the year. And it's, of course, the same here. It's, you know, it's, yeah, I mean, you just need to take a look outside, look at any school bus or playground or park. It's just sneaked in everywhere. So I think when we actually put those numbers and together and realize how many hours we are spending looking down at these screens instead of engaging with each other, it's an eye opener. Mm. And I think most people are not aware of it, and maybe not even the children, how much time they're spending. And I think we need to ask ourselves, what are all those hours? What are they taking away from? Well, they're taking away from sleep. They're taking away from exercise, from moving our bodies. They're taking away time from play. And one really amazing author and researcher, and he just published a new book about called The Anxious Generation, Jonathan Haidt. And, you know, and he said, it's almost like the child the play-based childhood has been replaced by a screen-based childhood. And now we see the consequences of that. So suicide rates are up, mental health issues, eating disorders, game addiction. And now they can see it's a clear link to when the smartphones came and then when social media and all the apps that we have on these devices. And now we see the effect of it.
Yes, so this is I get really upset when I hear about it because you want to go out and just take away the phones, right? So, but you know, the dopamine, I mean, the phones and the games and everything. I had Carolina Clift here last season, and she said she was talking about these other forces. For example, she works a lot with eating and making people move more. And of course, social media, the phones are one of those strong forces that keeps children away from doing the right things that we feel good for. So when you hear those things, you have this dopamine, right, that are created in the children's brains so that they can't stop or they can't, you know, they're addicted to it. So, and also when they become angry with something, they have started to use the phone as like a snuttefilt, comfort thing. So it's like a trigger. So when you take your phone, you feel better. Yeah. For adults, it could be alcohol, it could be other things. But for children and for adults, it could also be the phone. So how can we do, what have you read, what have you seen
so
to stop this?
Exactly. So one of the, so Yonda that I represent in Scandinavia, who works with helping schools worldwide to become phone free, they focus a lot on the why, that why is this so important? So they actually did a little bit more than a year ago a lecture with Dr. Anna Lemke, who's a Stanford psychiatrist and researcher, and she wrote Dopamine Nation. And it was really interesting. So they went to Stanford, they recorded it there. They had parents from all our schools, 3,000 schools globally, could listen in, they could ask questions. But one of the highlights that I took away from that webinar was that she said, what is so important is that we give especially our children these longer breaks. So for instance, some schools would say, but we are a phone-free school, they're not allowed to have the phones in the lessons. And she's saying that's actually not good enough, because then they get a 45-minute break. And then they run in and, you know, check their phones, TikTok, and the brains get completely wired up. And then we expect them to go into the next lesson and sit quiet for another 45 minutes. So the brain never really gets that long stretch of a rest, which is, no matter whatever our dopamine addiction is, it is so important for the brain that we give them these, because the longer the breaks they get, the less the addiction also is. And of course, where would the easiest place be to give them that breaks? Well, obviously the school day, because they don't need a phone to be in school. You know, most kids today have laptops in schools, and it also means that the schools know what they can access on those laptops. They have, you know, different systems. But the minute you bring the phones into a classroom, there are no limits to what they can access. But that's another discussion. But what she's talking about is when we give the brain longer breaks, the brain also heals. And just like if we were to eat candy for 8 hours, we are not going to feel great. But it's the same for the screens. If our kids are sitting up a whole night or a whole afternoon, you know, on social media or games, they are going to be screen hungover, just as we would be if we were to smoke or drink or whatever our addiction is for so many hours. So for me, it's that's why it's so important to get parents and educators to understand it's not a punishment to remove the screens away from our kids. We're actually giving, maybe it's the best gift that we can, it is the best gift we can give them. And it's also not about removing the phone, because the phones and screens are here to stay. And there's a lot of good things about them, too. And that I always, you know, when I meet people on the street, I almost feel like they hide their phone, or they say, I just saw you. Just took out the phone. And I'm like, listen, I am not against phones. I love my phone, too. And but what I do that I have been doing for a few years now is every Friday, unless my husband is traveling or there is someone sick in the family, I turn my phone off 6 p.m. until Saturday 6 p.m. And those that little break of 24 hours makes my weekend feel so much longer. I get to read the newspapers. Normally, if I have my phone while I'm reading a newspaper, I'm like, oh my God, I should share this article. And, you know, I just never get to finish the newspaper because I get lost in doing other things and, you know, checking the phone and social media. Like, you know, I'm addicted myself. But that little break of 24 hours is also to show my children, look, I can put my phone away for 24 hours. And I get to bake buns, I go for walks, I'm just much more present. And I can feel those few weekends where I haven't been able to do it, I don't feel as rested. I feel stressed and anxious. And so it's really, I can highly recommend. And maybe, you know, maybe it's just an evening people start with. I think most people, when they want to start having healthier screen habits, they make it too complicated, and then we set ourselves up for failure. I said, maybe just start with a meal a day, screen-free, or an evening a night, or, you know, one night with no screens in the bedrooms. We would definitely have happier marriages and more well-rested kids. And so I think it's about, yeah, it's about giving our brains that break from our addiction.
Yeah. So we can put a list, a little bit list, I thought, in this text to this episode where we can summarize those tips. But the thing that I think that a lot of parents wants to know is, what is the maximum of screen that a child would feel good to have? Because I've heard 2 hours a day. I heard, do you know what the research says today about what's the maximum?
So it's such a difficult question because it's a little bit like, it's not, of course, every child that has an addiction, and some kids are more affected by it than others. So it's very difficult to say what would be the best for all children. But one organization that I really admire a lot is Screenagers, and they're based out of Seattle in the States. They have a weekly newsletter. They have done documentaries on this topic too. And I remember they did a research around social media, for instance. And this, it's not only kids, it goes for adults as well. And it was like, if it's 1 hour and 46 minutes you are on social media, it can actually have a positive effect. It can inspire you. You can get uplifted. But the minute it's a little bit more than that, it's like, okay, everyone else is having a better life than me. I'm not pretty enough. So I think it's, so that's, and the thing with gaming, which is a little, so what we normally see is girls are more dealing with addiction to social media, and boys are maybe more addicted to gaming. And that is really hard too, because a lot of these games, you know, you forget time and place when you are playing these games. And it's, and unfortunately, a lot of the games are set up that they can see, okay, the gamer is starting to lose interest. Well, we'll send some more prizes his or her way. So it's really hard to break it. But I think I can just say from my own children, it's normally a couple of hours if they're playing, and I also see if it's more than that, it does change. It changes their mood, their behavior. They get irritated, but the minute they can see it themselves, and you know, I love Dr. Anders Hansen, all the research and articles he has published on this very important topic too. And I remember he was mentioning in one of his articles that they did a study with a group that were playing a video game. So one group were out in nature running around half an hour before they sat down and played the game, and the other group was just sitting and relaxing. And the group that had been outside actually performed much better than the group who had not been outside. So that's how I remember in the pandemic, we went from like, 2 hours screen time per week to 2 hours every third day, 2 hours every second day, 2 hours a day, a few months in, as much as you need. Because, but then I was like, okay, we need to start looking into this. So I told them, listen, if they play Minecraft, and I said, listen, if you want to play Minecraft, why don't you go and run around, or we do a nature walk first, and you'll actually play better. And
That's a good thing.
Yeah, we quickly got our routines back in place. But it is, I just think that we have to, we have to start somewhere. And I think like it's also a little bit, we need to know our children, right? Mm. And parents, of course, know their children the best. So maybe some kids can play a little bit longer, they're not affected, and other kids are very much affected by it.
But you're on, so this 2 hours per day, and then also as a parent, like putting in routines, rules within apostrophe, but the routines, and to be a role model yourself. Yeah. And I read on your website, because you work also with Yonder, which is the company that creates cases that for concerts and events and stuff, so that people kind of put away their phones. But they had a school, the schools that doesn't have phones, the results were enhanced student engagement, improved classroom management, better staff retention, improved safety and security, and sustainable results. Like you already know, like the results will come. So those facts are so important as talking about the why, and you know where we're going if we, you know, keep letting the phones be free like a wild, wild west.
Exactly.
But in the Swedish schools, how does it look? You're out in the schools today talking about, how does it look in the Swedish schools today?
So it is. So, I mean, a lot of schools are definitely, you know, they have thought about this, and they're trying, of course, to do their best. But I always say what I think is a challenge is if you don't have clear rules, let's say it is, we don't allow phones, but what does that actually mean? And it also means if you have 100 teachers, you're probably going to have 100 different rules, because maybe some of the teachers are dealing with this argument every morning at home with their own kids, or you don't want to be that strict teacher. And I'm also thinking, imagine being that teacher that has to collect 30 or 25 phones. It's not that easy, and it takes away time. And also, is that really should a teacher be doing this? They're there to teach, right? So Yonder was founded in San Francisco back in 2014. Now they are based in LA and New York, and we have offices all over the world, of course. But a lot of what we see is that the schools before that didn't have clear rules, and it's the same in Sweden, is that it's a headache for most schools if you have to collect phones. So what Yonder came up with, and schools was it came from a teacher that had been to a Yonder show. A lot of stand-up comedians uses Yonder for their shows. They want people to be 100% present. They don't want people to record their material and put it out. And there was, I forgot, it was a principal and a teacher, and he was like, I think we could use this in our school too. And that's how it started. And now it's, you know, 3,000 schools globally, growing every day. And what we can see is the teachers and the students like this solution because they get to keep their phone. It is in a loggable pouch. At the end of the school day, magnets are put out so they can open their pouches and take their phones out. Because a lot of children also don't like when you actually take the phone away from them. It creates anxiety. And it's the same for us, because I remember, sorry, I'm jumping around, but
no, it's okay.
When I was doing my look up movements, which is normally one event every month, which is either at a gallery or a small concert or a dinner or a nature walk, I would tell people they had to put it, my kids had actually made the box, the look up box, put your phone in the box, and it would be 50 phones in that box. And I realized people were a little bit anxious around it. And I get that, because when I had to do it myself, I was like, what if somebody takes my phone? Mm. Is it really safe? Today we have everything on those phones. And then when I came across Yonder after Bob Dylan had been given a concert in Stockholm, and he did his whole world tour with Yonder, I was like, hey, I need to look into this company. Maybe this could be a solution for my events, so people don't have to put their phone away. They'll still get to have their phone on them, but they can't use it. And that's how I got introduced to them. And it is so remarkable to see the change that this company has done over the years, and especially for students, because the schools see the students get their attention and focus back. The teachers are no longer the phone police. They can focus on educating the children. And all those small incidents that happens in between classes that might happen in a school where you just say, we don't allow phones, but that only means when we see the phone, we take it away. But a lot of the times, you know, the kids are very good to find ways.
Yes, exactly.
Where they don't see it.
Yeah.
So the Yonder model is just, no, we don't take your phone away. You get to keep it. You need to put it, it needs to stay in this bag. And of course, there are routines, how you check that and get them on board. But I also think a lot of the students, when they realize, okay, it's not only students that are using these pouches. It's artists, it's a lot of their own favorite artists are using it. It makes them understand, okay, it's, you know, it's a part of something much bigger. Mm. And it is really, I just implemented at a school here in Stockholm a few weeks ago. And the third day after they had introduced the Yonder program, I walked into the school and they were playing Uno, they were playing board games, they were talking to each other. And it happened so quickly because, you know, they're super creative kids if you give them the gift of the possibility to be creative. But if the phone is there in their bag or pocket, of course they're going to go for that because that's how they're set up to steal their focus and attention. So I think it has really been so rewarding to see the positive effect and how quickly it happens. And a lot of the people that work with Yonder school program are former teachers and principals who themselves saw the change that happened first when the phone sneaked into the classroom, but definitely after social media and gaming became accessible on the phones. Mm. And now, yeah.
Yeah, so good. I'm thinking about, you know, about motivation. You know, Taylor Swift is coming to Sweden.
Yes.
Perhaps she can use Yonder in her concert. What
I
do you think
so.
About that?
No, I would love that because I feel she seems like such a good role model.
Exactly, for kids and for adults.
Mm. Exactly, and you could also argue she does need the social media. So I get, of course, that a lot of upcoming artists, they do get a lot from social media. And it's also, of course, it's a way for them to engage. But I think, and that's, of course, what Yonder also has seen over the years, that those artists that take that decision, okay, I'm going to do my whole world tour phone-free, or I'm going to do certain of my concerts phone-free, they feel the difference too. Because if you're standing in front of an audience that are all standing still because they're filming, is a very different experience from standing and performing in front of an audience that are dancing, singing along.
Being there,
just there
presence,
living
yeah.
in the moment.
Exactly.
You know, be here now, as
the
founder of Yonder, Graham de Goon, is his favorite quote.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it is about. And that is, and that is also the intention of Yonder, is to say, we just want to create spaces where we can get a break from technology, where we can be together, be present in the moment, and just, you know, take in the experience with all our senses. Mm. Because the minute you bring in, and I see it with myself, the minute I bring a phone to a concert or a show, my attention goes to how do I make the best post? Where do I take the best photo? What is the best thing I can share from this experience? Instead of just being there. And it's not that we shouldn't share what we are doing and experiences, but maybe we just need to ask ourselves, do I need to share every single concert I go to or amazing dinner or show?
Yeah, and it's so important because we know that the only place where you always perform and feel the best is in the present moment.
Exactly.
So as long as you have this hinder, you're not going to be able to feel your best or perform your best. Goes for athletes, goes for kids, goes for anyone. So it's such an important issue. And I'm glad to hear that it's moving forward. Yeah. More and more people are interested in this. So, but I want to talk about something as well about mental training. And it has to do with goals and vision. And you were talking about the why. Having a clear why is also something that gives you motivation in the present moment, right?
Yeah.
So I read in your post the other day that... you know, we're in March, almost end of March, and you created, you hosted a phone-free vision board evening.
Yeah.
And vision board is something that within the mental training, it's about integrating your goals in the present moment. So you can see it clearly because your brain cannot understand if it's something that you are visualizing or if it's happening in for real.
Yeah.
So and I thought it was such a beautiful idea. So can you tell me what you did this evening?
So it was actually on the Global Day of Unplugging, which is an incredible movement based out of LA. So the Global Day of Unplugging is April 1st, which this year happened to be on a Friday, which was my already phone-free day. And we were out in the archipelago with dear friends. And I told them, listen, as you know, it is my weekly phone-free day, but it's also Global Day of Unplugging. So would you be okay if I brought Yonder pouches? We were four kids and four adults. And I will bring boards and magazines and glue sticks and scissors. And we're all going to create our vision board. So I've been doing vision boards for the, I don't know, past 15 years. And it's really quite amazing what happens when you put your focus and attention into what your dreams and visions are for the coming year, or you can, or coming month. You can do as many vision boards as you want per year. And what happens is, I think the minute we sit down and we start reflecting, what is it that we want? Because that's very easy to do on social media. Oh, I want that jacket. Oh, I want to look like her. I want to go on that trip that that person is on. We are not really reflecting. We are just being, you know, it's just being spoon-fed to us. But the minute you actually sit down and you go through the magazines and you get inspired and maybe you have an idea before you start, you know, gluing on the board, it makes you dream. And I think it's so important in this world we live in right now that we have something that we aspire to, that we look up to, that and yes, we can keep it in our head, an idea of what we want, but the minute you put it down on a board and you actually look at it, it's also, I think, your subconscious mind starts moving in that. So I have a specific part on my board is for Yonder. What are my dream goals? What schools would I like to be in? What artists would I like to work for? What press would I like? The founder of Yonder is Graham Dugoni, is such an inspiring young man. I want to help him to create more awareness around the incredible change he has done for young people and mental health and education. And so that's one part. And then I have one for my family. We all put a dog on our vision board this year, so hopefully
great.
by the end of this year we will have a little dog in our family. It can be trips that we would like to do. You know, last year I put this, I just found this wonderful photo of a group of friends having a sunset dinner. And then I actually, when we sat at that sunset dinner 6 months later, I thought, wow, this is kind of what I had envisioned. So, and it's just, I think when we start reflecting, we take this time. Of course, you know, you don't have to do it phone-free, but it's much more fun when you do it phone-free. And it was just so wonderful to see the kids, because that's exactly back to what I was saying in the beginning. If you take the screens away, you, especially if you have kids, you have to replace it with something else, your time, an activity, something. No one asked for the phones.
Mm.
And they didn't ask for the phones for the rest of the evening, because they got completely into this and, you know, had so much fun doing it. And of course, the adults too. And I think it was interesting because people think they know what phone-free means, but it's not actually until they have tried it that they can relate to what is it that happens? It's the same as, like, as you need to feel it in your body. Mm. And so the vision board is, so I've hosted a few, I normally host a yearly vision board event for friends that comes. And it's also a nice, beautiful thing to do with friends because you get to see what their dreams are and what they're.
It's such a gift. I will do this right away with my friends to
create. And for the children too.
And for the children, exactly.
And yes, you know, there were some fancy cars and, you know, like you would expect big boys. But it's not about that. It's just about, you know, there are also a sunrise or there is a soccer ball or, you know, and it's important that they understand. It's not about, like, not everything should be material things.
No.
It can also be the feeling that the feeling that you can create and that you can find in photographs or photos. And yeah, no, I really I can highly recommend to do it.
It's such a good. Thank you so much for this for sharing this. And I would love to speak to you about one more, two, three, 4 hours more. But we have to start finishing off a little bit. But I'm wondering, what is your vision for the future regarding the world and the phones, the phone-free world? How does your future look like for us?
Yes,
all,
so
for us all.
My dream future on my vision board is for sure that we will live in a society where we have a little bit more discipline around how and when we use our screens. And maybe that is that, you know, that it's not to compare it with smoking because, of course, it's not exactly the same. But 20 years ago, now I even forgot when they banned the smoking, and I wasn't a smoker myself, but I remember when you would go to a restaurant or a bar and people were smoking, it was like, oh, you know, everything smells. But now that's just the norm. Hey, you want to smoke? You're welcome to smoke, but you got to go outside. So I hope we will create more spaces and places and shows and schools and concerts and restaurants, cafes, parks, where we say you're more than welcome to be here. We have created this space for you to connect with other human beings, which is so important for our well-being. And also, as you know, loneliness is what kills most people nowadays. So we need to carve out, and now I'm actually quoting Bram Dugoni, the founder of Yonder, we need to carve out those places where people can have those connections. And the best way to do that is to making them phone-free. And so that would be my dream, that we imagine we had one coffee bar in each big city or in any city, really, where we would say, hey, this, if you want to go and talk to somebody, you know that this specific coffee shop is completely screen-free. And imagine the conversations that would go on. There's even in India, there's a village, a small village that decided together, we need to do something. No one is talking out in the streets anymore. None of the kids are playing at the playground. So I don't know how they did it, but they did manage to somehow turn the Wi-Fi off for a couple of hours in the afternoon. And suddenly the whole village was out spending time together. In the Netherlands, there is a supermarket chain that has introduced the slow line, completely, you know, against what everyone else is doing, the fast lane, self-checkout. And I'm like, I don't want the fast self-checkout always. I want to hear. It's what I loved about living in the States. Hi, honey, how is your day? Even though they might not be super interested in my day, it doesn't matter because somebody saw me. It felt really so heartwarming to have these little interactions throughout the day. So I think, and I'm also thinking about the, you know, the elderly generation, how frustrating it must be that you can barely speak to a human being anymore. You know, click this number for the, like you get lost in how do I get to speak to a human being, or you go to all the self-checkout in the stores where sometimes that one whatever you milk you need to go and buy might be the only human interaction you have that day. So that's my dream, a society where we celebrate the places that actually choose to go phone and screen free, because it is super crucial for our overall well-being.
Sounds, you know, I have an idea now. Yonder gånger sysslingarnas 2.0.
Yes.
Because we were in a network a long time ago where the goal was to have open spaces where we met,
yeah,
young people met that were like in business, liked each other and created business. We would do that, but phone free and
exactly,
recreate those open spaces starting in Stockholm, right?
I'm already looking forward to it.
That's awesome. And before we finish off, I usually ask if you can now summarize with three things to say to the listener on how to find more presence and well-being in their lives regarding to what we have talked about. What would that be?
I would set up a daily goal. How can I minimize my, where would be an easy place to start minimizing my screen time? I think that would be a gift to everyone if they would just, yeah, whether it's the breakfast or the bedroom at night or a walk, and also to do more monotasking. So a dear friend of mine, Satya Vine, wrote a book, The 12 Steps of Monotasking, reminding us when we do one thing at a time, we do it better and also faster. So not necessarily that faster is better, but we definitely do things better when we do one thing at a time. And I think the screens has made us believe that we can do many things at the same time. So that's, yeah, so do learn to slow down, do one thing at a time. And then, of course, spend screen-free time in nature.
Mm.
And I would almost say it's better to go for a 10-minute walk without bringing your phone than a 2-hour walk, you know, being on a call or listening to something, because you will get so much more calmness in your whole system when you're present.
Thank you so much, Mia. I'm very inspired to do those things myself and to create those routines at home. Thank you so much. And when someone wants to learn more about this, learn more about you, where can they go to find out more?
So ironically, I do have a presence on social media. So, but I try to be very, I don't post too much. I try and post and inspire now and then. But my Instagram is lookupmovement2020. And I didn't make an official lookup account before 2020, but I felt that I wanted to inspire and share the important work that I feel that I'm doing. I'm, of course, also on LinkedIn, and my full name is Mia Ljungberg Nevado. And where you'll find me. And you'll find me in nature.
Yes.
Mostly in nature.
And when we see you, we will put down our phones.
Yes. No, I'm kidding.
You
know, I always, when people do catch me on my phone, they feel relieved. They're like, thank God, she's human too.
Yes,
absolutely love my phone. And I also think social media can be super inspiring. And it's an interesting way to also to be able to share, you know, good things. And just to finish up, I think a lot of the discussion, unfortunately, has become so negative around screen time. And we should not forget that there's a lot of good things. It's a little bit like food. There's, you know, bad nutrition and there's good nutrition. So, you know, I can connect with my friends and family around the world. I'm super grateful for that. I couldn't do that without my phone. I can get inspired by cooking recipes that I might never have found had I looked in a cookbook. So it's not all bad. But we just need to be a little bit more cautious of when I'm out and about. I don't need to sit and research recipes for tonight's dinner. I need to look up and look people in the eyes and be present and smile a little bit more, because that's what we need. And I can just finish with one advice that I actually learned from Dr. Chatterjee, who has a big podcast in the UK. And he was here speaking this fall, and he finished off his event by saying, don't forget to take the S vitamin. And everyone was like, S vitamin? I've never heard about that. But that's a social vitamin. And that means pick up a conversation with a stranger. Okay, don't say that to your kids, of course. But when you're on the bus or you are sitting in the bar or wherever you are out in the public or waiting in line to pay if you're in the slow line, pick up that conversation. It is so good for our well-being, and you never know what, you know, what it leads to. You might learn something you had never learned before. And so S vitamin.
Thank you. That's a great, great final words. Thank you so much, Mia. I'm so honored that you were here talking to us about this important subject, and best of luck. And I hope to see you soon again. We will keep this conversation going.
Thank you so much, Jenny. Thank you for your important work.
Thank you so much. Då har du fått lyssna till mitt samtal med Mia Nevado. Och jag hoppas att du har fått med dig en hel del kunskap och inspiration som du nu kan ta med dig in i din egen vardag. För min egen del har jag nu redan skapat en telefonplats för våra telefoner och köpt veckaklockor. Så mina barn och jag själv och min man har nu veckaklockor och telefonerna lämnar våra rum innan 9:30 på kvällen. Och det här har faktiskt funkat ganska bra även med mina tonåringar. Och utöver det så har vi också frukosten utan mobiler och även middagen. Så att det här passade väldigt bra i våran familj. Och utöver det så kommer jag också bjuda in mina vänner till en sån här så kallad telefonfri vision board kväll. Och det ser jag verkligen fram emot, att jobba med drömmarna och målen framöver på det sättet. Och det här är ju då, du som följer mig här vet att målbildsträning är ju då den tredje delen i den mentala träningen. Och här skapar man just bilder kopplat till sina mål. För att bilder säger mer än ord, och när man sätter upp det här på väggen hemma påminner man sig om sin egen riktning, och då börjar kropp och sinne röra sig i den riktningen i princip omedvetet. Så alla jag jobbar med som har fått göra det här, det är väldigt sällan som man inte når de här målen man har satt upp på väggen. Och så gäller det då att de här målen är rätt för dig, de ska vara självpåverkande, komma från ditt hjärta. De ska ge dig energi, nyfikenhet och glädje när du tänker på dem. Och det här är ju lättare då när man kanske sitter med ett gäng vänner och jobbar med att man klipper ut bilder och gör det här till ett roligt event. Så det här med en vision board är ju ett väldigt, väldigt bra sätt att jobba med just målbildsträning. Så det kommer jag ta in ännu mer nu också med mina elever. Så jag vill tacka väldigt mycket för att du lyssnar. Jag hoppas som sagt att du får med dig en hel del inspiration i det här avsnittet. Också i mina andra avsnitt som nu rullar. Och som du också har, du har ju som sagt nu 135 avsnitt att välja på. Och vill du läsa lära dig mer om Mia Nevado och följa henne, så har du ju henne på Instagram. Och då heter det The Look Up Movement 2020. Och det finns ju då i texten här nedan. Och där har vi också sammanfattat Mias tips för hur du kan börja göra för att skapa en mer telefonfri vardag. Så du får gärna läsa där, så blir det lite mer tydligt för dig kanske. Och vill du följa mig och se vad som händer i min verksamhet, så går du in på www.jennyhagman.com. Och just nu på den 14 april så har jag till exempel en yogakväll mellan 16 och 18, om du nu lyssna på det här i tid innan dess, den 14 april 2024. Och du kan anmäla dig på min bokningssida via min hemsida. Och utöver det så kommer det en workshop hos Yoga Mana i maj, den 11 maj. Där jag går igenom den mentala träningens grunder på Sibyllegatan, där Yoga Mana har sitt center. Och jag lägger upp länkar här nere till det också. Och det är 3 timmar som en workshop. Och annars så följ mig gärna på Instagram, så får du uppdaterad information. Och då är det @Jenny_Hagman. Tack för att du lyssnar. Jag önskar dig en fantastisk fortsatt skön dag eller kväll. Och så hoppas jag att vi ses snart igen. Ta hand om dig och varandra. Hej då!